Happy good day to you. Have a seat. Let's give Brother Anthony Collins and his staff a round of applause for a wonderful chapel. Man, we got lots of fun, very unique chapel service. And I sat in the balcony and watched with such gratefulness in my heart for every one of you. We have a college because of students, and you make this college work. And I want to thank our faculty and our staff who selflessly and continually give of themselves to the Lord. And on behalf of our student body, sure love you, and I pray that God will give you a Merry Christmas. It's been a very, very sweet semester with each of you, and I want to thank you for your diligence, your spirit. Thank you for your weekend work. Wasn't that video recap just fun to see that? So many of our students, boy, the work day, the co-workers day when you brought your visitors, that was really a special time. Then just to hear different speakers throughout the year, it's been wonderful. For those of you who will exit today and leave today as graduates with your work done, and we'll see you in May for your graduation ceremony, I want to say that we'll miss you terribly. We're very thankful for your legacy of faithfulness. I sat down with several of you in recent days and just reflecting on the fact that your time's up. You just walked in here 4 years ago, and now you're walking off the campus, and we're going to miss you terribly, but we're very grateful for the memories, very grateful for your steadfastness, your willingness to love the Lord and be faithful to Him as a student. And each of you, you kind of come to observe and learn, and then you get engaged, and then ultimately we hope each of you will lead, and to lead others while you're still a student. And you judge almost every educational institution. Whoever sets the spirit is usually a junior or a senior. The juniors and seniors set the spirit, and they're the leaders, and we appreciate that. Of course, every year we seem like we have unbelievable freshmen that come in and sophomore that continue to provide such a stability, but we're very thankful for the seniors and the juniors, and for those of you who will be leaving the campus and will see us in the rearview mirror until May. We certainly would look forward to seeing you, but we're so thankful for you. And if you are getting engaged right away into the work of the Lord, I pray that you will just glorify the Lord and reflect. I remember graduating and getting opportunities to go right away into the work of the Lord with Linda, and I'm very grateful for every. And those early days of college were very difficult. The early days of ministry were equally challenging, different. I was able to sleep at night, so that was very good to be able to have that and not have to have an exam the next morning or have to write a paper. But I had plenty of other things that needed to be cared for. But it's a privilege, as Brother Collins already just gave us. The Lord's work is the greatest work in the world. And if God would let you serve Him, do not stoop to do anything else. No matter what the price tag, no matter what the offer, no matter what the prestige, if you can be a servant of Christ, what more would you want to be? And we sure love you. I feel like I'd be amiss. I really appreciate Brother Mitchell's opening comments. Just really, I'd like to hear those again, Brother Mitchell. I appreciate so very much what you shared with us. And don't you appreciate Brother Mitchell being just oil on water to help us as a college? Thank you so very much. But his insights are very helpful. And then, of course, Brother Collins, and then so many of our staff and faculty members, some of them turn wrenches, like Brother Oswardi is up here today, and Brother Scudder, and others that do other things. The precious ladies over there preparing meals or listening by way of a speaker into the kitchen that they came over and watch Oompa-pa or whatever we did there. What's it called? Oompa-pa, yeah. And, you know, the actors have some changed here. Some of these have changed, a few of them. I remember years ago, Brother Sammy Roberson was one of those folks, and of course, Brother Carpenter years ago that was here. But how thankful we are for the legacy of faithfulness that God has given us. And now you're a part of that. And we love you. We appreciate it. I want to turn your attention, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, just for a moment. One time I came to this chapel, and I said, folks, I know you're ready to go home, but I really feel God wants us to go verse by verse through Psalms 119. And I asked for maturity. I said, look, I know that you're in a hurry, but I really feel God wants us to go this. And then my wife so rudely came up and said, knock it off, John. Let's let these kids go home. And so we're not going to go through Psalms 119 today, but I do want to share with you, as we have shared this semester in 2 Timothy, Paul, in 1 Timothy, we know our principles there. Keep your doctrine. Yeah, and because doctrine determines. Yeah, and then we want to make sure that we make what a priority? Prayer and our walk with God a priority. Chapter 3 teaches us that we need to be spiritually reproductive in winning and discipling others who will eventually be pastors and those who will help their pastors. In chapter 4, we must have a godly example. And because our sermon whisper, but our life, yeah, what we say is one thing, but if people don't trust you, they won't trust what you tell them. And I think it's so important we understand that. Then I think that chapter 5 is relationships and, yeah, how we treat people, whether they be the older or the younger, whether they be our pastors or our aging parents or our co-workers or our colleagues in the Lord's work. Make sure you treat them right. And then monitor all relationships, because some men's sins are obvious from the beginning and some men's sins they follow after. And then chapter 6 is financial management, teaching us we should work diligently. We should associate carefully. We should live contentedly. And we should give aggressively and generously to the work of the Lord. You want to do all your giving while you're living. There's no offering taken in heaven. There's no soul winning in heaven. There's no gospel tracts in heaven. If that's going to be done, that needs to be done while we're in this parenthesis of life. And but now Paul is at a different time of his life. He is not in a rented home in Rome with a Roman soldier and Luke and Aristarchus and others attending to him. Now he is in a prison cell. The temperatures are dropping. Winter is coming. He doesn't have his coat. He left that in Troas, and he doesn't have anything to read, and he finds enough paper. Someone, maybe Luke, hands it to him through the walls and gives him some ink, and or maybe he says, you know, write this out, and he writes to his colleague and his protege, Timothy. Timothy, he had many people he worked with. You can go through to Archippus, and you can talk about Aristarchus. Talk about Luke, of course, and Titus, and Demas, and others that he worked with. But Timothy was very special. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, I really, right now, of all my workers I work with, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for the people. They'll do it for money, and they'll do it for prestige, they'll do it for a pat in the back, but they just don't naturally care for people. And I have no man who really thinks like me, like Timothy. Timothy's the only one right now in my group of guys I work with that really is like-minded, thinks like me, has the same motivation, and naturally cares for people. All the others right now have an agenda. They have their own thinking. And he said, but this guy does. And he, of course, two of the letters that he wrote, Timothy, we probably wrote many more than two, but two of them God put in our Bible. 2 Timothy is a very obvious challenge. He challenges Timothy personally, referencing his mom and his grandma, referencing his ordination and the hands that were laid upon him, his responsibilities. He reminded him not to be ashamed of some of the things that happened to Christian servants and how that Paul was arrested numerous times, and many people, when he got arrested, said, you know what, we're going to distance ourselves from him. We're not gonna mention him. We don't want to mention him. He just keeps getting in jail. He said, look, don't be ashamed of my chain. Don't be ashamed of the reproach that I take, because I do all these things for the elect's sake. Everything I'm going through is because someone else needs the gospel. Somebody else needs to hear about Jesus. He said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, because I am getting attacked and because I'm getting all this imprisonment and unjustly treated. Don't let that keep you from serving God. He tells him that very clearly. He says, in Onesiphorus, He's an example of someone who was not ashamed of my chain, but he came to Rome and very diligently sought me out until he found me. And he oft refreshed me, and you know all about that. You know what he did. And the Lord's going to reward him because he was identifying with my reproach rather than distancing away from me when I was taken in on the chin, when I got arrested again because of the gospel. And then he says in chapter 2, he gives him a practical challenge. We'll come back to that in a moment. Chapter 3, he gives him a perilous day challenge. And in chapter 4, he gives him the parting challenge. He says, now it's time for me to go home. The time of my departure is at hand. Last night, Brother Clarence Sexton went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And with an hour, Brother C.W. Fisk went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same night, Brother Jim Barr went home to be with the Lord. And some of you, that's your uncle. How many of that is Jim Barr, your uncle, that's in there? So we've got several folks that are Middleton family. Elaine Middleton's husband, I understand, passed away. So grieved and sorrow about that situation. But these are people that have run their race, and now the time of their departure is at hand. They've already fought their last fight. They've finished their course. They gave their last dollar. Everything's gone. Now, everything opportunities they had, now it's our turn. And he challenges Timothy. Timothy, I want you to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I want you to take the things that you've learned and been taught, and I want you to pass them on. You know how you remember a joke? You tell a joke. And remember something funny? Tell it a few times. It'll become part of you. You know how you learn the Bible? Teach the Bible. You know how you want to learn more about Bible doctrine? Teach Bible doctrine. Disciple someone, it'll become a part of you. He said, take the things you've learned and you pass it on to somebody else. And then he says, I want you to be like a soldier. Be strong. Be submissive. Submit to your authority and seek to please those that put you into the army of God. You've got to be simple. You can't take your entertainment center with you. You can't be caught up with the affairs of this life and be a good soldier. You're going to have to live simply. Then he said, I want you to be a good athlete. An athlete are known for two things. Number one, discipline and playing within the rules. They got to have discipline and they got to play within the rules. He challenged them. So I want you to be a good athlete. But no man striveth for mastery unless he strive lawfully. Listen, there's rules to keep the rules. Don't think you're an exception. Every time you break a rule, you don't break a rule. You break yourself against the rule. You're the one who's going to pay the piper. The rule's going to stand. It's like the rocks on the Pacific Ocean. The waves don't break the rocks. The rock breaks the wave. You try to land against the rock of God's word and his rules and his laws, you're the one who's going to come away all bruised and broken and bludgeoned. He says, keep the rules. And then he says, a husbandman, a farmer. Farmers are known for two things. Number one, being faithful and being fruitful. And those are things that you and I want to be known for. To being faithful to what God's called us to do, and especially about the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting people the gospel. And then, be fruitful. Keep on doing. If you'll keep being faithful, you will become fruitful. The longer you go and the more faithful you are, the more fruit you will find. And God will put you in divine appointments. And he tells him, Timothy, just be faithful like a husbandman. And then he says, you've got to be willing to identify with the sufferings of Jesus. He said, if you deny him, he'll deny you. But he cannot deny himself. He said, you need to be a sufferer and be willing to have some reproach identifying with Jesus. He said that the servant is not greater than his master. If they attack Jesus when he was here, they're going to attack you from time. And John chapter 15, verse number 19, reminds us of that. He says, it's going to happen. You've got to put your big boy britches on and understand that. You've got to serve the Lord and be willing to suffer sometimes for some difficult times. But I want you to look, if you would please, at verse 15. What's the first word in verse 15? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. Just real quickly, I want to just give you some parting advice. Of course, Brother Ray's advice, I hope you'll take the time to look on that website. And I think we're going to email that to you possibly. But if we do, that's fine. If you cannot look on the Worth publications and see those 31 things of suggestions at the Christmas break, I think that's great. I want to just give you a couple words. Number one, study. You don't have any more exams to study for. That should have ended this morning. Okay? But this is a good time to say, you know what, I'm going to go through the book of Ephesians at Christmas break. I'm going to try to read the first five books of the Old Testament. Read it. I'm going to read the book of Psalms over the Christmas break. Read the book of Psalms and just say, you know, that guy knew God. He knew how God thought. He was a man after God's own heart. So he understood how God thought, how he felt about things and what he wanted. Maybe that's something you could do. Say, you know what, I am not going to let this time. I'm tired of reading. I'm tired of studying. I'm tired of cramming. I'm tired of writing papers, and I would agree with all of you. I'm kind of tired of you. No, I'm just joking. No. We got those papers, and I have to study to prepare and get my lessons out and know what you were supposed to do and interact with you with emails. And, Pastor, did you get my paper? And how come I didn't? I can't find it in the back and whatever else that happens. That's fine. We're glad we can get through it. But I don't have that right now, and you don't either. But you do have a Bible. You do have a responsibility. You do have opportunities. You have a little more free time. Once you decide, I'm going to study something, maybe read, if you need to, an autobiography or a biography of a great Christian or a missionary. You decide, you know, there's certain things I'm going to do. I'm not going to just let hang out. I'm just not going to do whatever. But study. Because if you don't study, you will be ashamed. That's guaranteed. Maybe some of you would say, you know, I'm going to find 10 verses on the deity of Christ. I'm going to write them on my Bible. I'm going to put the deity of Christ, and I'm going to find 10 verses that prove the deity of Christ. So if I'm ever asked, is Jesus God, I can know those 10 verses. Some of you might want to find 5 or 10 verses on the eternal security of the believer. And someone says, you know, I'm not sure you can really know. I think you can lose it. Well, you could look in the back of your Bible and say, here's 10 verses that I can look at, and I've learned them. I'm familiar with them. That might be a good idea. Why is Jesus God? The inerrancy of the Scriptures. You know, something that find a blessing. Study. I would encourage you to do that. Number two, sanctify. Study and sanctify. You know, I want to ask you to look at the verse of Scripture, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Will you begin reading with me, verse number 16? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. For their word doth eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. They've used their words and their influence to really be a cancer to the gospel and the gospel work, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. And someone who gets up and says the wrong thing, they do affect some. They don't affect everybody, but some of them, their words cause others to be overthrown, their faith. That's a sad thought right there. I wouldn't want to be that, and I hope you're not going to be that. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are his, and let every one of them nameth the name of Christ apart from iniquity. The second thing I'd like to encourage, of course, verse 20. Why don't you read 20 and 21 with me, would you please? But in a great house there are not only, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, verse 22, a very great admonition, flee also what kind of lust? That's one thing you are that I'm not. You're youthful, I'm old. But he said, when you're young, you have a little more tendency to get caught up in something on Pandora or something on this situation or this person or this algorithm or this TikTok thing. He said, you know what? If it's not helping you, flee it. Don't try to stand up to it, flee it. When it comes to youthful lust, he doesn't say be brave. He says be a coward. Run away. Get away from that. Brother Froakie's given us a great thought on that in years gone by, you know. Avoid rather than resist temptation. You can't handle temptation. I can't handle temptation. So we just don't go there. He said flee youthful lust. And here's an admonition at Christmas time. And number one, study. Number two, sanctify yourself. I can't keep you sanctified, and it's not your job to keep me sanctified. I love Linda, but I can't be holy for her, and she can't be holy for me. That's something I have to do for myself. Flee youthful lust. Keep thyself pure. Listen, if you're going to be able to get together with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or their families, you might want to have a little conversation right now and say, look, man, I want to be with you so bad. I want to touch you. I want to hold you. That's not wrong. unless you're not married. Then the Bible says that it's not good for a man to touch a woman or to strike a fire physically when you're not married to that person. The Bible says marriage is the honorable thing. And bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify your time. Set it apart. Be careful. Very few things happen good after about 10 o'clock at night on television. For you to be watching stuff or surfing channels on the cable television at home, be careful. You're going to find yourself having a lot of guilt, a lot of challenges. He said, sanctify yourself. He said, if in a great vessel, in a great house, many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, and it's not about whether or not they were gold, silver, or wood, or earth. It's about are they clean. He said, whatever vessel you are, that's God's business. You can be clean. Purge it. Scrub it down. Make sure it's right. And then be a servant. Be a servant at your church. When you go home this weekend, listen, if there's a Saturday soul winning meeting, be there. If there's something to be done at church, do it. If your pastor and pastor's wife normally stay after and clean the building, you can say, you take the day off. Well, I got this. Where's the vacuum? If there's a bus route to be on, get on the bus route. If there's a lady that needs her windows cleaned, clean them. If there's some gutters that need to be cleaned out, take care of that. Be attentive to serve. Because the servant of God must not strive. I would say also another thing too is solve problems, don't cause them. You know, little people, they make little problems exaggerated. But spiritual people make big problems little. Be someone who solves some problems. He said, a servant of God should not be known for strife. If strife is your life, knock it off. Don't be someone who's just stirring it up. Learn how to deal with those things. Pray your way through things. Ask God for his mindset on matters. And then lastly, I would encourage you to share the gospel. Share the gospel. People do die and go to hell. Three of our friends passed away yesterday. And those people all knew Jesus and served Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. But there are many other people who are not saved, and they need the gospel, and they can't just wait until you come back for school next year to start serving or winning someone to Christ. Every day, keep tracks with you. Ask God, Lord, use me today. Could you give me someone to lead to Christ today? Several words. Study. Sanctify. I want to encourage you to do that. Be a servant. Share the gospel. Solve problems. Let this be something you're known for at Christmas time. Let's pray together. Can we please? Dear Lord, I thank you very much for the privilege to be here and to serve the Lord with these young people. You have been so gracious to give us a wonderful, wonderful semester. Sweet young people that love Christ and have served him. We're not perfect. We've all got issues and challenges, but I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be faithful to you, love you, and I pray that, God, you would please help us this morning and just a few moments as people leave. I pray that you'd give them safety and give them just a vivacious Christmas vacation. We love you, and I pray that we'd be serious about your work, but also, Lord, help us to bring joy to wherever we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.